Czech police say the suspect has died and that around 30 others were injured. Officers also claim the suspect's father was found dead earlier. Our Europe correspondent Ron Robbins has the latest.
We understand that the main focus of this shooting was actually the philosophy department. What we don't know is the motivation behind this shooting, and that's what police will be trying to confirm now.
London Euston Station has reopened after strong winds from Storm Pier damaged overhead wires, forcing all services to be suspended. There's major disruption across the UK as fallen trees block lines. A four-year-old boy has died after suffering knife injuries at a property in Hackney in East London. A woman who knew the child has been arrested on suspicion of murder. The Israeli Defense Forces say rockets have been launched from Gaza and has sent warnings to residents across Israel. Hamas's armed wing has claimed responsibility. The foreign secretary's called for another pause in fighting to allow for hostages held in Gaza to be released. During a visit to Egypt, Lord Cameron said any agreement would need to be based on allowing humanitarian aid to be distributed.
We want to see aid come from Jordan. We want to see aid come across maritime routes. We want to see more aid come in at Rafah. We want to see aid go through Kerem Shalom. We want all of these things, and I've raised these things from day one with the Israeli government.
Andrew Tate's asked for an emergency visit to the UK after saying his mother's had a heart attack. The controversial influencer isn't allowed to leave Romania while he waits on his trial for rape and human trafficking charges. And former WWE star Hulk Hogan has got baptised at the age of 70. He's called it the greatest day of his life. That's the latest. I'm Faye De Silva.
This is Phoenix FM.
Weather on Phoenix FM, proudly sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company for windows, doors, conservatories and extensions.
Well, if you've been out and about, it is very, very blowy out there. Storm Pier is wreaking havoc up and down the country, and certainly in the Brentwood area, it is blowing things around. Now, this evening will turn largely dry with some clear spells. During the overnight period, clouds will increase from the west and a few isolated showers are likely, especially near dawn. It'll be less windy. That's good news. For tomorrow morning, can expect cloudy skies and patchy rain. In the afternoon, it will become drier but remain rather cloudy. It'll be a breezy day. Lows tonight of 9 degrees and tomorrow's high of 12. And I'm sure you want to know what it's all looking like for the Christmas weekend. Well, it's remaining breezy and mild throughout the weekend, although occasional winds will turn quite strong and gusty at times, particularly on Sunday and Monday. Variable clouds, some brighter intervals, and spells of showery rain or drizzle at times, perhaps becoming more frequent and persistent from the south later on Monday.
Weather on Phoenix FM, sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company, proudly serving Essex for over 50 years. Contact us on 0800 666 444 or visit sehbac.com for help with your home.
Phoenix FM Travel News.
Well, it is very busy out on the roads. Looks like lots of people have given up work already and are running around doing their last minute Christmas shopping, presents, food, etc, etc. So the roadworks in the local area seem to have packed up. There's one that I can see on my map on the A128 on the Ingrave Road, just near Herongate. But the temporary lights that were on the Rayleigh Road at Shenfield have all gone. It's busy around Shenfield Station, as you'd imagine, at this time of night. And in Brentwood, around Wilson's Corner and on the Ongar Road, heading towards Phoenix FM Towers. It's heavy, but it's moving. And if you are out and about driving tonight, take it easy. Just slow down. Well, my thanks to Jo Bailey for another excellent edition of Drive. She's back again tomorrow.
On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Well, it's Thursday, it's 6 o'clock. No, it's not Crack Attack, it's 98 Not Out. Phoenix FM's a weekly cricket show with me, Darren Mutu. And tonight I have a guest in the studio, first time in ages. Debbie Knight, the blogger of 365 Sporting Days, is with me. Hello, Debbie.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very good. Got a very busy show tonight, lots to talk about, even though it seems to be supposedly a time of year when cricket isn't going on, but there's loads going on. As always seems to be the case these days. We'll be updating on England. Both men and women have been in action this week. We've got news from the IPL auction. And we ask, is cricket eating itself? Is it just too much of it? Is it all getting a little bit meaningless? Usual features, usual chat, and some festive music, given that we are on the 21st of December. We are live from Phoenix FM Towers, Studio 1 to be exact. And if you can't listen live, or you want to just catch up later on, go to phoenixfm.com, look under programs, and look for 98 Not Out. You can download the show and listen to it at your leisure. Also, I've got some really big news to tell you as well tonight. Lots to fill in before 7 o'clock. Keep it locked to Phoenix. And if you want to get in touch with the show, you can email me radio@phoenixfm.com. Title your mail 98 Not Out and let me know what you're thinking. Or you can use social media messaging. Yes, we are right across X, Facebook, Instagram, but we don't do TikTok. And of course, if you are listening, and I'm assuming you are listening, let me know how you're listening. Is it on the FM dial at 98 in the central Essex area? Is it via the internet, phoenixfm.com? Just click on listen live. Or if you want to be really grooving down with the kids, just shout at your smart speaker to play Phoenix FM. Loads of ways to listen, take part. Interactive as always. Right, let's get underway. First of all, it's a big welcome to Debbie. Been on the show a few times now.
Yep, have been, not for a while though.
No, well obviously we were off the air for a best part of a year, I think it was. Wow. And we were on the podcast. You came on the podcast though, didn't you? I remember we were talking about a couple of bits and pieces.
Yep.
And but before that, I think you're one of the very, very early guests. It's 4.5 years we've been doing this.
Wow,
now.
Amazing.
I know. It goes really quickly. But yes, always good to have you along and always enjoy your input. Just before, so if anyone out there who doesn't know who Debbie Knight is, just tell us about your blog and how that came about.
I was writing about rugby and wanted to write about cricket. So set my own website up, and that was in 2015, and haven't looked back since. I've turned the cricket into I do a weekly roundup of the whole of the county championship.
Yep.
Because it actually works to the geek in me.
Is it full of stats and facts?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. So I write about the sport that I watch, basically, and add a bit of photography in too.
You go and watch a lot of cricket as well. You're a member of Essex and Surrey, is it?
Member of Essex and Surrey. Didn't manage to get to Surrey much last year because the powers that be decide that Essex and Surrey should play at the same time as a rule. But this year, I think I've got at least one match that I can get to the Oval for. So,
okay, yeah. Good. Yeah, it's always
But I am an Essex fan, I would say.
Of course, we're all Essex fans. Yes. We'll be talking about Essex later on because there seems to be a non-stop news flow coming out of the county ground, but I think it's starting to get positive. But
hope so.
We'll see that. It was the AGM a week ago, I think 10 days ago, and that to me seemed to be give members hope, although one of the members there did complain about the Christmas tree lights not being switched on. I would have thought that they've got bigger questions to ask than that. But anyway, there you go. So, right, I will kick off, as always, with... It's cricket birthdays of the week. And as usual, some really interesting names on this week's list. Quinton de Kock starts us off. He's 31. Charlotte Edwards, 44. Charles Langerfeld, 49. Did he play for Essex at one stage? Usman Khawaja is in the news a lot at the moment. He's 37. Notts coach and one-time England coach Peter Moores, 61. And he's threatened to make a return appearance on the show, so watch this space. Ricardo Powell, 45. Benny Allison of Brentwood and Essex is at 24. Ricky Ponting, 49. Darren Sammy, who has been on the show a couple of times now, 40. Grant Flower, 53. Simon Hughes, 64. Trevor Bayliss, 61. Sarge Mahmood, 42. Corey Collymore, 46. Chris Old, 75. Ashley Nurse, 35. And Gary Pratt, 42. And I'll add to that list some listeners that have got in touch. Francis Mufti. They don't tell their ages anymore, these people. I need to start insisting, if you want to be read out, you've got to tell us how old you are. But anyway, happy birthday to Francis Mufti, Justine Egan, and Dave Binns, who I'm reliably informed, he didn't tell me, but I found out is 57 today. So happy birthday, Binsy. I know that because he was my best man when I got married.
Well, you should know then in that case, shouldn't you? Well done.
Yeah, and remember, if you want to be part of that list, just drop me an email, radio@phoenixfm.com, 98 not out on the title, and just tell me whose birthday it is. Make sure you grasp them up about how old they are. You can even add on a bit to really embarrass them. Yes, let me know. I will read it out as part of the cricket birthdays of the week.
Across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM.
Okay, let's start off with England. And they are playing the deciding T20 match later on this evening, 8 o'clock our time. So after we've finished here at 7, you can go and make your dinner or pour a cup of tea or something and then settle down to either watch or listen to that. Should be quite good. It's a decider. Now, Sunday was a great game of cricket. Phil Salt's second successive century helped England to hit their highest T20 international total in a chaotic 75-run win over West Indies to level the series. I didn't watch it. Did you see any of this?
No. We go to the cricket eating conversation here. I didn't know.
Yeah. No. Exactly. Well, yes. Yeah. Hold that thought.
Yes,
exactly.
We hold that thought. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, and you know, we did have the free-to-air era. Then we had everything on Sky, home and away, and now it's just splintered everywhere. Anyway, as you say, we will talk about that in a minute. Now, Phil Salt's astonishing 119, the highest score by an England men's batter in the format, came from just 57 balls, included 10 sixes. As the tourists finished with 267 for three, amazing of 20 overs. Josh Butler, the captain of the side, smashed 55 from 29 balls, and Liam Livingstone added an unbeaten 54 from just 21 at the Brian Lara Cricket Academy in Trinidad. Now, West Indies kept up with the imposing run rate during their entertaining chasing effort, but regular wickets cost them. With the hosts falling to 192 all out. They'd amassed 87 from their first six overs, but England held their nerve and fought back to break every dangerous partnership, with each bowler taking at least one wicket. All-rounder Andre Russell back in the side, he gave the hosts late hope with a dynamic 24-ball half-century before he was the last batter to be dismissed in the 16th over by our old mate Rhys Chopley. Great to see him back in an England shirt and performing yet again. He claimed 3 for 37. England have come from two down in the series to be level at two apiece. The decider, as I said, taking place at the same venue tonight at 8 o'clock. It's about time we had a bit of cheer, isn't it, with this England side?
Yeah, and actually, a shout out from me for Reece. The injuries he's overcome to be back playing cricket and playing for England is amazing. You know, he's put himself through hell and back, really, to be there. Could not be happier for him.
Yes, and also special mention to Helen Back, whoever she is. But, yeah, and he has, and it's not just, it's his luck has been awful, because he's had a string of back stress fractures, but then he trod on that Toblerone on the boundary rope, and then in the World Cup, fielding of his own bowling and managing to catch the tip of his finger and fracturing just the tip of his bowling, one of his bowling fingers. But yeah, it is absolutely incredible. And you know, I think as cricket fans, I think we're proud to see him doing so well.
Yes, definitely. You know, I think there's this funny thing about our players going off to Surrey, but he made such a convoluted way there that I just wish him every single success, really.
Well, that's right. I mean, Dan Lawrence is the latest person to leave Essex and head down to Surrey. And I mean, there are a lot of ex-Essex contingent there, as you say. There's Dan Lawrence, there's Reece Topley, we've been talking about, and of course Ben Foulkes. But it's not necessarily a case of, you know, there's a lot of nonsense goes on social media and all these places of, you know, desertion and, you know, betraying their camp. But I remember with Ben Foulkes, it was a case of when he was a youngster and just coming through, he was clearly a brilliant player, both with bat and gloves. But there was the immovable obstacle of James Foster.
Yeah, so he couldn't get the time. And why wouldn't you go to somewhere like Surrey and look what's happened with him? You know, he's done absolute wonders, hasn't he?
He does, he has.
At Surrey. You know, he's probably the best keeper. He's certainly the best keeper in our country and possibly across the world. The thing that politically incorrect to say, but I sit amongst my fellow Essex members to hear them being unhappy about Dan while I'm watching Matt Critchley, who is the ex-Derbyshire captain. But that's completely fine.
Oh, yeah. I don't understand some of the logic with some of not all of, but there are some vocal Essex members that, do need to give their heads a wobble a bit, because some of the stuff they come out with, it just doesn't, it doesn't make sense. And, you know, going back to Reece, he was at the stage, I think, probably about 2 or 3 years ago, where he was on the verge of giving up.
He had a pay-to-play contract, didn't he, at Sussex? And they sort of helped him back into cricket, which, you know, all credit to them for that. I think I saw him one day near Lourdes, but he wasn't going to Middlesex. He was going off to see a surgeon, I think, about
The Royal Wellington Hospital, which is next door, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
he did have that operation was a make or break. I mean, if it didn't, if it wasn't successful, he was going off. And I think he was studying a degree in economics.
Wow, okay. Sensible.
Yeah, exactly, which, you know, he was asking me if I could help him with. Silly boy. But luckily, the operation was a great success, and he's rebounded. And even then, it hasn't been a straight road back. But England these days, but in these last few months and last sort of the domestic season, England look a more complete side, I think, when he's bowling. And I think he definitely brings something.
He always makes an impact, doesn't he? You know, and he can, you know, he's with Gus Atkinson at Surrey, so the pair of them can hopefully, if they do get to play for Surrey very much, can work together and perhaps improve each other as well. So.
Yeah. And you mentioned Sussex just in that conversation. Now, there was another story of someone leaving Essex, Tamal Mills, because he had this mysterious back, he kept getting back spasms. No one at Essex could work it out. Sussex took a gamble and signed him, and they found out that he'd got a particularly narrow spinal column, which was pinching his cord. And if he bowled too excessively, it would inflame, and that was what was causing the damage. And that's why he now is only a T20 player.
He's a 4 overs at a time. A match player, isn't he now?
Yeah, yes. And, you know, a great player and a great bloke as well. He's
lovely guy.
Yeah, so it's quite interesting to see the people that have come through Essex. But, you know, to the critics that are out there, just have a little look into the reasons or the events surrounding their departure. And I think you might find that it wasn't necessarily a case of being selfish or anything like that.
98 FM. This is Phoenix 98 FM.
Right, let's have a little bit of music now. This one I like to think is the only cricketing It's a Christmas song. This is Chris Rea, and he's cover driving Home for Christmas.
I'm driving home for Christmas. Oh, I can't wait to see those faces. I'm driving home for Christmas, yeah. Well, I'm moving down that line, and it's been so long, but I will be there. I sing this song to pass the time away, driving in my car, driving home for Christmas. Just the same.
To phoenixfm.com and listen to online guest interviews. Check the events for your area and listen to great radio online.
Hi, it's David Gower, President of the Lord's Taverners. Why don't you have a go at our Christmas quiz? For a couple of quid, you'll be helping us continue to help all the young people we support.
The Christmas issue of the Cricketer magazine, otherwise known as the January issue, is out now with a fantastic illustrated cover by the gifted Nick Newman. And inside, David Gower takes new MCC president Mark Nicholas to lunch. We have Mike Brearley talking about captaincy at the World Cup, and Simon Barnes reviews the cricketing year. If that isn't enough, we have a Test Match special with the producer Adam Mountford, a former producer Peter Baxter. We also have an interview with Kevin Howes. And Nasser Hussain picks his player of 2023 and is one to watch next year. And the icing on the cake is an interview with Fergal Sharkey, the pop superstar, on why his good heart belongs to the Ireland team. Subscribe to The Cricketer at cricketer.com.
That sounds like a fantastic issue. It's always a fantastic issue, the Cricketer magazine, and well worth every penny, so make sure you subscribe. And also Lord Gower there, just giving a little plug for the Lord's Taverners Christmas Quiz, which is always good fun, £2 to enter, and of course that goes to prop up all the wonderful work that the Lord's Taverners do. So make sure you support both of those fantastic causes.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
Now, I said there was some big news to announce tonight, and if you follow 98 Out across social media, you might already have a clue of what it is. But we have been shortlisted for the final in the Sports Podcast of the Year Awards, and in particular under the cricketing category. Now, we're up against some pretty big heavyweight names. There's the Wisden Podcast, there's Zero Ducks Given, which is Toby Tarrant and his gang, Dan Norcross and all of that lot. The Wisden one is Mark Butcher. The No Balls one with Kate Cross and all the other ones on. It's a pretty big list, but we can take them down with your help. Head to all of the social media pages. You'll find the link. I'll put it on there. It's already on there. If you just look for it, you'll find it. But I'll put it on there again tonight when I post the show up. Please vote for us. I'd love to give a bloody nose to some of those people that have all of the resources and the openings and the opportunities. Remember, this show is done by volunteers. Phoenix FM is a community radio station. Everyone that contributes to this fine establishment does it for the love of it. There's no money, there's no glory, there's nothing else. And especially this show, as we were saying earlier on, 4.5 years. It'll be 5 years in May we've been going. And if you've enjoyed it, and I'm sure there are at least one of you out there that's had a good time with it, make sure you spread the word. Vote using the link. It's very, very easy. And tell your friends, get everyone you know, get your kids, get your mum, get your granddad, whoever, to vote for it. And let's see if we can't pull off a small little shock at this time of the year.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
Right, back to the cricketing news. Now, we talked about England's men. Let's just have a quick word on England's women. Now, they were playing a one-off test out in India. They were bowled out in the first session of day three to fall to a crushing 347-run defeat in this one-off test. They were set an improbable 478 to win, but England fell to 131 all out inside 27.3 overs. Spinner Deepti Sharma took 4 for 32 to finish with nine wickets in the match. And Seema Pooja Vasrekar impressed with 3 for 23. The conditions were favourable for bowling, but England were outplayed across the 3 days in all departments, with all of Knight's side playing their first test match in India. It's also the first time that India had beaten England in a home test. But did you see the conditions they were playing?
I didn't see it, but I heard Heather Knight speaking afterwards and explained that they'd never seen spin like it. And of course, you know, how are they meant to learn from just one test match? I think for women's cricket, that really has to change.
Well, it was so hot, wasn't it? I know they've had the World Cup out there just recently, but the conditions were just swell. I mean, I think we saw glimpses of it in the World Cup campaign, particularly with some of England's decisions about when to bowl or when to bat first.
Poor decisions by England, you mean? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we did. Why would you put yourself in the field in the heat of the day? Yeah.
No, exactly. And I don't really quite understand why they were doing that, but England's women suffered the same fate. It was a one-off test, but I think everyone was quite pleased to take part in it, both in England and India players, and are keen for it to keep going. So let's hope that there can be a bit more of that. So let's keep it peeled. Now, staying in India, the IPL, the whole bandwagon has got going, and the auction was this week. It was on Tuesday, I believe. And now Australian bowler Mitchell Stark became the most expensive signing in IPL history when he was bought for £2.3 million. Nice work if you can get it, by Kolkata Knight Riders. The bid for Stark broke the record set earlier in Tuesday's auction when Pat Cummins was sold for £1.9 million. That fee beat the £1.85 million paid for England's Sam Curran in 2022. More about the Currans in a minute.
Yes.
Elsewhere, England bowler Chris Wokes was sold to Punjab Kings and his teammate Harry Brook went to Delhi Capitals. Wokes cost £400,000 and Brook £380,000, which is a drop from the £1.35 million fee paid for him last year. After retiring from England cricket or England international cricket last month, all-rounder David Willey was picked up by Lucknow Super Giants, one of the more recent teams there, isn't it? Was it last year?
That,
and they paid £189,000 for him. Gus Atkinson, who you, Debbie, just mentioned a minute ago, he was signed by Kolkata for £94,000, while RCB signed Surrey and England bowler Tom Curran for £142,000. And Rajasthan Royals move for Somerset wicketkeeper batter Tom Cole-Cadmore for £38,000. Opener Phil Salt and leg spinner Adil Rashid were among a host of other England players to go unsold, alongside Australian pair Steve Smith and Josh Hazlewood. Surprising that.
Yeah, surprising for particularly for Phil Salt, I feel. And actually interesting to see Tom Cole-Cadmore there.
Yeah.
Really. That's a really interesting one. That'd be interesting to see how he goes on.
Yeah.
He was someone that was looking as if he was heading England's way until he was involved in some unpleasant shenanigans. So we'll see whether he comes to the fore a little bit more next summer.
But we'll talk about Tom Curran while we're there. So
yes.
I posted this on the 98 Not Out Twitter feed today. Very strange behaviour went on in the Big Bash today.
I think you're being very kind with the word strange. I've got a much stronger word. I think it was disgraceful behaviour.
Well, you're right. And he's now, for his antics, been landed with a four-match ban, which means that he's not going to play until January. Now, what he did, if you hadn't seen it or heard about this, and I strongly suggest you go and look at the video, because it's one of those cases of seeing is believing. So before the match, in the warm-up, he approaches from one end of the pitch in his run-up and runs down and sort of does his action and then follows through in his action onto the pitch. And an umpire says to him, quite rightly, you can't do that. You can go either side of it, but you cannot stray onto the pitch. At which point, Curran kind of like ignores him. This is Tom Curran, I should add. Ignores him and keeps running to the other end. And the umpire stands on the popping crease, and you can see clearly that he's saying to him, you can't do that. Curran then belligerently starts another run-up from the other end, aiming straight. Now, the umpire is stood on the bowling crease, running straight at him at full tilt. And then at the last second, sort of runs around him, and again, runs down the pitch.
What on earth was going? What on earth was he thinking of? My goodness.
I don't get it. And worse still is that he's now appealing against this ban as if, you know.
Well, then they should double it, quite frankly. I think how he missed the guy, I do not know. Because he veered away at the last minute and actually towards the stumps.
Yeah.
As well. So even more on the wicket. Terrible behaviour.
No, it's really, I mean, we often talk about the spirit of cricket, and right there is an example of what is not the spirit of cricket. And, you know, there are rules, and, you know, I think even young kids will understand the etiquette of preserving the pitch and not running across it.
And not running at an umpire.
I know. Intimidating,
goodness.
Threatening.
Yeah, terrible.
Yeah. But you know what? That's kind of like the society we live in these days, where if something's not your way or you don't agree with it, you ignore the rules and you say, right, I'm going to...
But do you know, when you're in the public eye as much as that, when you've just been signed for £142,000, really... Do you behave like that?
No. It's pretty disgraceful. I think you should just apologise, take his punishment, and then come back stronger in January.
Phoenix FM. I am John Sharma, inviting you to join me here on Phoenix FM on Saturday afternoons for Phoenix Sport. The top local, national and international sports stories, plus live scores, results, reports, interviews, quiz questions and my sporting anniversaries. And lots of great music too. That's Phoenix Sport, every Saturday from 3 till 6pm here on Phoenix 98 FM.
Hi, it's Darren Mutu. Join me on Phoenix FM for Reggae Revival, the only place where you'll hear old school roots rock, reggae, dub plates, lovers rock. Make sure you don't miss it every Wednesday, 10 until midnight, only on Phoenix 98 FM.
It's Reggae Revival with Darren Mutu on Phoenix FM.
Every Wednesday on Phoenix 98 FM at 7pm, it's the Orient Hour, bringing you the news, views and special guest interviews from the Brave Hope Stadium, Brisbane Road. Join us every Wednesday at 7pm on Phoenix 98 FM for the Orient Hour.
Yes, Father Christmas himself there, Andy Gilson, who is always bringing in lots of goodies and biscuits and treats, and there's a box of quality, well, a half empty box of Quality Street that's out there, but always good listening, the Orient Hour. And of course there is other the Golden Hour shows, where he plays music from his youth in the 1950s and 60s, which is well worth listening about, particularly if you've got grandparents that can explain it to you. And yes, make sure you listen out. And of course John Chubb, every Saturday afternoon, the best sports program bar none, with his fantastic enthusiasm and reports on all the goings on across the sporting spectrum on a Saturday afternoon, and with particular notes to the non-league action that's going on in this area. So make sure you listen. And on the subject of John Chubb, and I know there's lots of John Chubb fans out there, you're going to be a bit disappointed, because normally John follows me at 7 o'clock with the non-league hour, but he's a poorly boy, is old John, and he's not in tonight, so there will be a replacement show to just mark his absence. But we wish you well, John. We hope you get better soon, and I know that you were trying desperately to get in because we've got a little bit of a get together later on, listeners. John, get well soon, and we look forward to your return. Hopefully you're here on Saturday. There's a lot of sport going on this weekend, so hopefully you'll be here Saturday 3 till 6 with Phoenix Sport. Now, talking of Christmas and whatever else, I don't know if you were listening to Phoenix FM last Sunday afternoon, but it was the Phoenix Live Panto. Oh, yes, it was.
Oh, no, it wasn't.
Beautifully done, Debs. Beautifully done. I wasn't even rehearsed or anything. A bit like the panto. So I'd just like to say hi to, obviously, John Chubb, Spencer Carter, and Nigel Fitzmaurice, who was here, and obviously the girls from the art show, Kevlar. He was driving the decks superbly. And, of course, to Claire Gibault for putting the whole thing together. And it was good fun and suitably amateur. And with apologies to that, I was the mirror.
Okay.
It was Snow White and the Seven radio hosts, but it was very funny. It was good fun. That will be on the Phoenix FM website for you to listen and cheer up your Christmas time. And also, special breaking news. If you can't get enough of me, and I know I just played my jingle for the reggae show that I do, if you like reggae music late at night, 10 till midnight on a Wednesday Reggae Revival, which is getting some really good listeners, actually, listenership figures. So there are obviously people out there that like that kind of thing. It's a good late-night listen. But if that's not enough of me, if Reggae Revival's not enough, if 98's not out is not enough, I'm here on Christmas Day. Midday till 2 o'clock. So once you've unwrapped all your presents and you're getting stuck into the sherry, the Baileys, and all the rest of it, and the kitchen's a hive of activity with the turkey or the goose or whatever going in the oven. Although more and more people don't like turkey at Christmas. Are you having a turkey?
I'm having steak for my Christmas dinner. Yeah. No, I'm not keen on turkey.
A lot of people aren't. They just do it for the tradition.
But yeah.
But whatever you're doing on Christmas Day, don't put the telly on, because there's nothing on at that time of day. Put Phoenix FM at Phoenix MM. Put Phoenix FM on at midday, and Oh, there's someone at the door. I would love to find out who that is in a minute. Midday till 2 p.m. Yours truly, playing you a load of just festive hits, all your Christmas favourites. And it'll be good fun, and hopefully keep your Christmas mood up. Right, so on that note, here is another Christmas song. This one is Christy Berg, "A Spaceman Came Travelling." You're listening to Phoenix FM. 6:40 exactly.
A spaceman came travelling on his ship from afar. 'Twas light years of time since his mission did start. And over a village he halted his craft, and it hung in the sky like a star. Just like a star. He followed a light and came down to a shed, where a mother and child were lying there on a bed. A bright light of silver shone round his head, and he had the face of an angel. Spoke. He said, "Do not fear. I come from a planet a long way from here, and I bring a message for mankind to hear." And suddenly the sweetest music filled the went trembling through the ground, and many were wakened on hearing that sound. And travelers on the road, the village they found, by the light of that ship in the sky, which shone all round. And just before dawn, at the paling of the sky, a stranger returned and said, "Now I must fly. When 2,000 years of your time has gone by, this song will begin once again to a baby's cry."
Christy Berg and "A Spaceman Came Travelling." We were just talking while I was playing, and I've not heard. Even if I have heard that in the past, I was never aware that it was Christy Berg.
No, it's not a song.
You say Christy Berg, there's only one song you think of, really, isn't there?
Yes, yeah.
But great song, and a really sort of nice, sort of gentle Christmas song, very Christmassy. It's not in your face and make you want to jump up and down and run.
Quite prefer the make you want to jump up and down ones, though, really.
Don't you worry. Now, to prove we are live, now, just before that, you might have heard Debbie just say there's someone at the door, and I just went to have a look, and it was a pizza delivery man from Domino's. Other pizza deliveries are available, and he said, I've got a pizza for Phoenix FM. Now, if anyone out there has sent a pizza in to us, because we're looking a bit hungry and a bit lean and a bit orphan-like, many thanks, but no, it was a bit of a shock, but... it was a bit like that bit in Home Alone, you know. I should have really said, keep the change, you filthy animal. But he seemed quite disappointed. I was sort of thinking, should I take
Did
it?
Did you take it? You didn't take it?
No, because I'm out in a, in a
You're
little
out
while.
For a meal.
So, yeah, so otherwise I might have done, you know. But then again, do the listeners want to sit in here and listen to me chomping on a pepperoni passion or whatever it was? I'm not sure. You're listening to 98 and Out with me, Darren Moots. My guest in the studio is Debbie Knight. It is a quarter to seven, and in a change to the schedule tonight. Now, I did tell you that John Chubb is unwell, so he won't be doing the non-league show, but I've just had a message from Paul Golder, the station chairman, who has put together a file, and apparently it features me. So you're going to get, I was saying before the music, that there's lots of me on at Phoenix at the moment. Reggae Revival, 90 are out. Christmas Day, 12 till 2. That's 12 till 2 on Christmas Day. You've also got me for another hour after this with a pre-recorded show. Yes, then there's Bumper to Bumper at 8 o'clock with Gareth Williams, the smoothest, the Bob Harris of Phoenix FM is El Gareth. And yeah, he used to follow me in the old days. I do miss catching up with him in the handover. But anyway, there you go.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
Right, this is a cricket show, so back to the cricket. And some news going through this week. Rajasthan Royals are launching a London Cricket Academy. Bad news. There's an IPL-like T10 tournament planned to boost revenue streams, set to be in September. So if that goes ahead, that would scupper the final month of the English season. That would make it planning for our cricketing summer even more haphazard. It's going to be a nightmare next year with the T20 World Cup sat in the middle of it. I read elsewhere that year-round contracts with IPL organisations now seem inevitable. And if UK franchises are sold to private equity, then it will doubtless be dominated and controlled by Indian money. Is that what the ECB really want? They want the 100 to be owned by KKR?
No, I'm not convinced the ECB know what they really want.
Well, too often they appear to be well off the pace and whatever's going on. I mean, I'll go back 20 years when they invented the T20 format, the 2020 Cup, as it was called in those days. And it was
didn't
all a bit...
copyright it in any manner.
No, and didn't explore the potential.
Yeah.
When I had Barry Hearn on the programme, he could spot it and he knew what it could be, but the ECB pushed him away. And then next thing, the IPL set up, and the rest is history, really, isn't it? Now, there was some news that Jason Holder has said that his decision to make himself unavailable for the West Indies Test Series in Australia next month was prompted by his desire to focus on T20 cricket ahead of the World Cup on home soil in June of next year. Instead, Holder will be playing in the ILT20 in the UAE during January's Test Series, but he's spoken extensively with the board in recent months and has made clear his desire to play Test cricket again after the World Cup. This seems a bit of a bizarre thing, but Debs, you were just telling me that... this is becoming more common.
Antoine Dupont, French rugby captain of a hugely successful team, didn't quite go as far as they should in the World Cup, but he's not playing in the Six Nations because he's working towards playing in the Sevens in the Olympics, which is actually a bit of a kick in the teeth to the people that have been playing Sevens for years. And I guess that's for glory, not for money, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whereas, let's be honest, that the rest of this is about money, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't care how you try and dress it up.
Money. It is.
I mean, that T20 World Cup,
who's really bothered about, do we need another one? When is there another one, then?
Well, there's a cricketing World Cup. pretty much, or it feels like, every year.
It's just dull, quite honestly.
Well, that's the problem, is that, you know, in the old days, there would be no cricket on at this time. Or you may be a touring side, maybe just turning up in Australia ahead of Christmas. But barely a day goes past now where you can't... I mean, if you are subscribing to various, you know, BT... TNT, they call it. Yeah. There is cricket every day of some... But all of it is now becoming a bit of a so what, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I am probably what will be called a cricket tragic from April till September.
Yeah.
But I find myself completely disinterested.
Well, that's it. And I think Mike Atherton was talking, it was quite interesting given that he works for Sky and writes for The Times. But he was saying that there's just too much. And if you're of a certain age, sort of his age, that it kind of all just becomes sort of white noise, really.
It does. However, I'm not averse to the sportsman earning enough money to set themselves up for life.
Mm.
So it's a difficult balance, isn't it? Because, sport is a very, very short career. And if you get the wrong injury, you could be talking 5-6 years at the top. So I'm not averse to them making enough. You know, look at this IPL situation. I mean, that's madness. But it's just, I just find myself not interested at all.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll sit and watch 5 days of test cricket and no one wins and I've had the most amazing time. Mm. But I barely watched any of the World Cup. Now, whether... And I don't dislike the short form of cricket. You'll find me at, hopefully, most of the T20s at Essex this year. I like T20, but I just too much. Too much.
Yeah, and they've gone back to this thing of the T20 being split, which I don't like. Not last year, the year before, they put it all into July. And I thought that was quite good, and a bit like the 100, and I know I'm not going to get into a debate about the 100, but I like tournaments that you can engage with and follow.
And I don't
like the fact that the Blast starts off, stops for a month, and then comes back when the weather's all gone pear-shaped and it's all dark and whatever else, and your fingers crossed that Edgbaston and Birmingham on a late September day is going to be okay. But you, there's an interesting point there you raise about sportsmen having a shorter life. I mean, I'll wind it back a few years, particularly with cricket, where you played for your county. I mean, people were known by, for example, Graham Gooch, Essex and England. You could identify people by the one county and whether or not they played international. But even if they didn't, there were these things called benefit years.
Yeah.
Which have dried up now. And I know why they've dried up. It's because the tax man has taken a bit of a interest in earnings. It didn't used to be the case, but in the old days you'd play cricket and then when you got to a certain stage of your career your county would offer you a benefit and you would put on all kinds of events and that was how you sort of top up your pension fund. But they've died out, and I think players are now sort of thinking, well, if I can go and earn money from a T20 in Bangladesh or Pakistan or wherever, or a T10 in Abu Dhabi or the UAE, and now you've got this American one that's coming along, it just seems like, as you say, it's just getting too much in the attention span. You just don't know where to focus.
It'd be interesting to know what the cricketers think, though. I can remember asking Ravi Bopar, I think it was probably at his benefit dinner in London, whether he thought, because he's always engaged, hasn't he, in the T20 leagues, and whether he thought that actually helped him with his county cricket. And he, as a cricketer, told me that actually it's cricket, and absolutely it's him with a bat in his hand. So do the cricketers that are taking part, I'd like their opinion of it, really. Do they see the benefit of having a cricket bat or a cricket ball in competition all year round? Does that benefit the cricket that we get to see in this country?
Interesting. If there are any cricketers out there listening, I'm going to hunt a few down and get their opinions, if they're allowed to give them. But yeah, it is good. We're closing in. It's 6:54 already. I wanted to just briefly talk about Sports Personality of the Year. A lot of hoo-ha in the cricketing world about Stuart Broad not winning it. And when he came runner-up, but it, I'm going to chuck a hand grenade out there. I mean, should he have been there in the first place?
No, he shouldn't have been there in the first place. And I cannot believe that absolute meltdown that a female footballer has won it has caused. What did Stuart Broad do in 2023?
Mm.
The clue is of the year.
Yeah.
You know, and England cricket team have not had a very good year. Yes, he got a six on his last ball, and he took on his last ball with a bat, and he took a wicket. Whoopie-doo. That was no big deal. I literally cannot believe the meltdown on all the cricket pages.
Well, I think a bit like Question of Sport, I think Sports Personality of the Year is on its last legs. When we were kids, it was a really august affair, right ahead of Christmas, black tie, television centre. It wasn't in a huge arena. Yeah, and it was fantastic. And you'd have Harry Carpenter and David Coleman and Ron Pickering and whatever, and they'd give little roundups of their particular sports. And at the end, they would announce. And the winners, as far as I can remember, were deserved. It wasn't personality. That was when it was called Sports Review of the Year.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because there's Kevin Sinfield is an interesting person. People put him for, but he is just a legend full stop. It's not his year.
Yeah. We could go on, but we can't. We have got 10 seconds for me to wrap this up. Have yourselves a merry little Christmas. I will be back next Thursday. My guest will be Mr. Dan Hagger of Essex fame. That should be good. Always got something to say, as old Dan. Have a great Christmas. Enjoy yourselves. Go mad. Drink too much. Eat too much. Fall out with people, embarrass yourselves, do all of that. But in the meantime, from me and Debbie Knight. Debbie, thanks for being here tonight.
Thank you for having me. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yeah, playing us out. A ska version of
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let you heal be yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. From now on, our trouble will be miles away. Here we are, as in olden days, happy golden days of yours. Faithful friends who are dear to us, God are near to us once more. The years we all will be together if the fates allow. Hang on, shine. Yourself a merry little Christmas. Let you